Go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 24, and we'll begin to go over this chapter once again. Well, not once again, but begin to explain some things that take place. As you have your place in Samuel 24, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms chapter 57. I want you to hold your place in Psalms 57. And then once you find Psalms 57, I want you to turn your Bibles and Psalms still to chapter 142. And there's a reason why I'm going to do these things. And as we find our places this morning in these, as soon as I find mine, I will have a word of prayer, and then we'll read these small chapters, and then we'll go into our lesson this morning. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we're able to be here this morning. Lord, it's good to always have a laugh before we begin to get down and to begin to be serious about your word. So, Lord, today I pray that you would guide us through your word. Lord, I pray that you bestow your wisdom and your knowledge upon me, Lord. I pray that when we leave here this morning, we can say we've learned from your word. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Now, Psalms chapter number 57 and Psalms chapter 42 go with our lesson this morning, because these are the two chapters that were written by David when David was in Gedi. And so I'm just going to read these things for you real quick, and some things that was on his heart. So first of all, verse number 1 of chapter 57 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Now, I want you to understand something before we get in our story. He's in the cave in Engedi, and he's still fleeing from Saul. Saul has been pursuing him now for approximately 8 years. And so now he's asking God to be merciful unto him. Verse number 2, it says, "I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Now, who's wanting to take out David at this point in time? Well, there's two people. We got to think about this. Who's the other silent partner? It's been Satan the whole entire time. And I just want to throw that out to you. So you got Saul, then you got Satan wanting to get him off as well. Verse number 4 says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and her tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory awake, psaltery in heart. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Think about what David is saying here. Has he been being pursued these many years by his father-in-law, trying to take him out from this world, trying to kill him, asking God for protection, and then at the same time, what is he saying? "God, I will sing praises to you. I will make you known unto all nations." Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the very short chapter of 142. And again, David here finds himself writing to the Lord here. He says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there is no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul." You look at that word, refuge failed. What do we find David again doing in his time from fleeing David? He's going from mountain to mountain, from cave to cave, from town to town. He could not find refuge. He could not stay in a place for a long period of time, because if he was to do those things, eventually, we found out what happened to one of the priests. They were killed for being a help to him. Look what he says again in verse number 5. It says, "I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." He realized during a time while he is at En-Gedi that he could not find refuge in man. He could not find refuge in the places where he's at. But where did he find refuge? He found refuge in the Lord. Folks, that ought to be a great testimony and exciting for us to understand that we can find refuge. We can find rest in the Lord. And David acknowledges that. Verse number 6, it says, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. That the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Well, I tell you what, those are some neat words that were written by during the time as he's being pursued by Saul at En-Gedi at this point. And I tell you what, I'm going to say this. No matter what you go through, we have no idea what's in store for us tomorrow or the next week or the next month. We have no idea. We don't see into the future. That's not our capability. But we have a God who has that perfect foreknowledge. He knows what's in store for us. And when that time arises, whether we agree with it or not, let's rest assured. Let's take a promise from Scripture here, because this is a promise. We can find refuge in the Lord. And that's what David was seeking at this point in time. He wanted refuge. He knew where to go. But also at the same time, through this, I'm greatly baffled by this, because I don't find myself in this situation when I go through some hardships in my life. He wanted to sing praises to and he found comfort in that. And I tell you what, there are some times where I have found comfort in that, where I have been tormented and faced some turmoils, and the only thing that I can think of doing is singing praises to the Lord. And I tell you what, the comfort and the peace that God bestows upon you at that time is just truly amazing. And I just wanted to give you some idea behind this chapter, because we're going to see David in his life. Let's begin to read this, and then we'll go back and explain this. Verse number 1, again, let's refresh what took place last week. David was encamped. He was surrounded by Saul and by men. Saul had a messenger that came to him, and this messenger said, "Hey, Saul, our land has been invaded by the Philistines. Our people are in great trouble. Let's stop pursuing this man, and let's get back and protect our people." And I can almost just see David up there saying, "Na-na-na-boo-boo, you know, you got to go home." But David is very grateful at this point in time, because he can take some time off from being pursued at. And so now David is in this place, and Saul is taking care of business at this point in time. Now he comes back. It says, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David said his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thy hand has seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but my eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe, and kill thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord, therefore, be judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how thou hast dealt well with me, forasmuch as when the Lord had delivered me into thy hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine heart. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off thy seed after me, and thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat them up unto the hold. Boy, what a beautiful story that we just read here. And we're going to go back and begin to explain some things here. The title of my message this morning, Men, Aren't You Glad God Done Away With Men Wearing Skirts? That's what the scripture says here. He was wearing a skirt. No, I'm kidding there. The title of the lesson this morning, Revenge Always Isn't the Answer. Revenge always isn't the answer. Because normally, and the reason why I say that, normally when somebody does us wrong, the first thing that comes to our mind, I want to get back at him. And we begin to plot and we begin to make plans with inside our minds and ways in how we can come across to do evil upon that person who's done evil upon us. Am I the only one that's done these things in my life? We got two people that agree. The rest of you, everybody's perfect in here this morning. Amen. And I'm just going to speak to the two people that are on the same level as me. But anyway, I would begin to do those things. And I would begin to also realize that as I would begin to finish my thoughts, how wrong that is for me to do those things. And you'd have to begin to seek God for forgiveness and turn the other cheek. And that's what would happen. But we're going to see here some things that begin to take place in the life of David at this point in time. The first point I want to look at here is second thoughts this morning. That's our first point. The second point will be the hunter becomes the hunted. We'll see the anointed, and then we'll see the change of mind here. First of all, we see again Saul being returned back from his land, from protecting his people from the Philistines. But we see here David flees that is called Engedi. Engedi today is an oasis. It's a nature reserve in Israel, and it's a beautiful place. You can go on your Google Maps, and you can put up pictures of Engedi, and you'll see some beautiful deserts. You'll begin to see some beautiful mountains that are in there, and some beautiful waterfalls that are in this area today. And it's located west of the Dead Sea. I would encourage you folks, and I've done this in my life. What God talks about in Scripture when it comes to talking about the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, I would go and I would begin to Google search those places so that I can see with my own eyes what these places look like. I tell you what, when you begin to do those things, it puts a different twist on things when you begin to read it in Scripture. And so that's a thing I began to do a while ago. But I want to understand here, David here, he's not in this land of oasis here on vacation and taking everything in. David here, he's fleeing for his life, trying to protect his life. And so David finds himself in the rugged part of Engedi, and he finds himself within the caves of Engedi here. But back in 2016, I did some research on this because, again, I was looking on how beautiful this place was and how popular this place is. Back in 2016, it was listed the most popular nature sites in the country back in 2016. So it's a desired place to go to. People like to take some vacations there and go sightseeing there. So now we see this take place here. Now we see Saul, he's being summoned back. He finds out where David is at this point in time. He comes back, and now he's searching for David once again in his life to try to end what he has started. And that start was trying to kill David. So again, he finds himself again on the hunt for David. And I understand this. When you are a hunter, you don't want to give up on the thing that you're hunting. I know this from my past experiences in my life. When I would go out and hunt, used to hunt years ago. We don't do much hunting anymore. It's just lack of time. You get older. And I remember one particular day. This is a funny story. He knows where I'm going with this. We went out on an afternoon, and I haven't had a bird all year. I haven't pheasant hunting. I know we got some deer hunters in here. I don't kill Bambi. I just eat them. And we're out trying to shoot some birds. Well, we found this beautiful pheasant sitting on this post, Chad. Beautiful. It wasn't moving. It's just like he didn't even see us. And so I did the proper thing. I got out of the truck, put a shell in my truck, and shot that bird. That bird did not drop, Donovan. It didn't drop. I'm thinking, is my gun bad? What is going on here? So I shot the thing again. I put some lead into that, and I saw the feathers begin to move on that. And I'm like, what in this world? Has this thing got a bulletproof vest on him? He's fearless. He's just standing there looking at me. He didn't even move. I shot him a third time. He's still there. And I'm the hunter. I give up on this thing. I want this bird in the back of my truck so we can go back home. So I put the gun down and walked down to the fence post. And guess what? That bird was dead. It landed there and it froze in that upright position. And I'm shooting at a dead pheasant. But I didn't want to give up on that bird because I'm hunting that thing. That was a prize position. I still see it in my mind today as if that bird just laughing at me, mocking me. But he couldn't mock me. He was dead. Anyway, I know what it's like to go out on a hunt and have something in my mind. I'm not going to come home until I have this thing that I'm wanting. And we've done this on many occasions. So he's finding himself in the same similar situation I found myself in years ago when it comes to hunting. And so he's set in his mind that he wants to go out and kill David. No different than a hunter who's hunting a deer. There are guys that will shoot any deer, but there are guys that will pass up on does and they'll pass up on small bucks because they want that big buck. And they're very patient. And I see Saul in this being patient as well. And because he wants something very specific, and he's waiting for his time, he's waiting for his opportunity. Well, his opportunity came, and it passed him in this last chapter. Now he has another opportunity. Oh, he's told about this. In verse number 2, it says that Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel. When I look at that word chosen there, and think, Saul took some careful time in looking at his men at this point in time in his army. He knew of the hunt that he was on. He knew how David on multiple times have escaped his hand of death. And now Saul, he hears again where he's at, and Saul begins to go through this careful battle plan. I believe he was trying to be very careful about this. Now he chooses. And I just picture Saul doing this, walking up to these 3,000 men. You're going with me. You're valuable to me, and I know that if I have you, we're going to capture David, and we're going to kill him. So he chooses 3,000 men to go out and to go into En-Gedi to get one man. 3,000, one man. But Saul also knew that David had 600 men with him. Again, the odds are still against David. They outnumber them pretty drastically. And so now we see Saul taking this opportunity. He doesn't want to pass it up. And he goes and he seeks David in the rocks of En-Gedi. Now Saul arrives here and he gets there, but 3,000 are there. Funny, David is being surrounded by Saul and his men at this point in time. God put him in a resort, if we can say that, with these beautiful waterfalls and a scenery to enjoy. But David's not enjoying these things. And now he isn't safe for long because Saul has found his way to En-Gedi. We see that the hunter never gives up on the hunted. But now we find Saul finding himself in a pen here. And that's what sheep coats means. It's a pen here, either for the goats at this time or for the sheep. And he comes to the sheep coats in verse number 3. By the way, where was a cave? And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his man remained in the sides of the cave. Now, some will sit there and say that David was in the exact same cave as Saul at this point in time. David and his men, it says, were in the sides of the cave. So it could have been where it was this big cave, and they had some extra smaller rooms behind there, if I can say rooms. So some will sit there and say that David and Saul were in the exact same cave. But there's something different about this cave at this point in time, because David had his men that were with him. And it said it remains in the side of the cave. And some will say that Saul's men remained outside the cave here. But it says, and the men of David said to him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as seemed good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. You work the word privily here, it means privately. David's men did not leave their spots at this point in time. David took this matter. The Lord delivered Saul into the hands of David. So David privately, to Saul, doesn't awake him. He could have. But he walks up there and he takes the skirt of the robe and he cuts it off. Now, that's what they wore back in those days. We know that they're calling them skirts. And we men, we like to refer to as the masculine thing, robes. And so Saul's robe, his skirt has been cut off. And David is holding that in his hand. And as men are encouraging him to do what he wants to do to them. But look what it says here in verse number 5. It says, and it came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him. Smote, and that means very quickly, very abruptly. So we see in that in David's heart, he smote him. And we know that David took this upon himself. But it says here in verse number 5, it says, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Verse number 6, we're going to see the change that's going to take place in the life of David at this point in time. And it says, verse number 6, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. Now, let me ask you a question. Because, again, I put myself in a scenario here. I put myself as David at this point in time. If I'm being sought after for these years, if I'm being tortured by a man who wants to kill me, and I got to leave my earth behind me, my home, I got to leave my father, I got to leave my mother, I got to leave my brothers, I got to leave everything behind me because one man's trying to kill me. And now the Lord's delivered this man who sought my very life. He wants to take me out of this world. God has delivered into my hand. And David doesn't capitalize on the situation, does he? Now, if that was you and I, the scenario might be different, probably. Because we would sit there and we would fear for our life. And we'd sit there and say, man, you're done. Stab him in the heart, do whatever you got to do, and go about your way. But we see something take place in the life of David at this point in time. It says, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. Who has David been talking to at this point in time? What scriptures did we just read? We read Psalms 57 and Psalms 142, where David is talking to the Lord, where David is having fellowship with the Lord, where David is opening up his heart, being personal with the Lord. And so with that being said, I believe in time that David and the Lord were very much in tune with each other. So much so, when David had this opportunity to take the Lord all out of this world, I believe the Lord just whispered in David's ear and said, David, now's not the time. I believe they're in that much tune with each other. I say that for a reason. You and I, as believers, we have so many distractions in our lives. We have so much noise in our life. It's hard for us to figure out when we need to be in tune with the Lord. And I encourage you to take that time. For when the Lord speaks, we should know it's the Lord speaking to us. So the Lord changes the heart of David at this point in time. I forbid. Master, again, I want you to recognize something. David has respect here. Does he have respect for Saul? Probably not. I would imagine that if that was you or that was me, somebody was doing that to us, we probably wouldn't have much respect for them. But what David is showing here, he's having respect for the office. And we're going to see this very clearly. It says, I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. He recognizes that Saul was anointed by the Lord. He takes this very seriously. And to stretch forth thy hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Saul here is being spared because David respects the office. He recognizes that the Lord had anointed Saul king of Israel, and he wasn't going to do anything against the king that the Lord had anointed. So, verse number 7 says, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. Now, he says this thing for a reason. He's got 600 men with him. Saul's men are outside the camp, probably in a deep sleep. Imagine what's going on here. They're not far from each other. Imagine the miracle that God is performing at this point in time. Saul has yet to wake up. David is having a conversation with his men. Saul's men are outside sleeping, 3,000 men, and none of them have yet to awake. Think about the all-miraculous God at this point in time, because there's a lot that's going on that we don't really pay attention to. And so none of these men are awake. David's beginning to talk to his men here and saying, hey, I don't want you to rise against Saul either. You know, the Lord's told me that I'm not going to kill him, and guys, you're not going to either. Well, David's men don't think the way he does. They've been hunted by him as well. And so David's men had to be told to not rise against Saul. Now we see Saul, at the end of this verse, he wakes up. It says, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Saul must have been in la-la land. Because I sleep pretty lightly. Just a noise will keep me awake, taking me out of a sleep. I was at my brother's the other night, and it's dead quiet there at nighttime. They're out in the country. It's just dead quiet. And I tried to go to bed the other night, and I had a long drive home yesterday, and my sister-in-law turns on their dryer. Well, their dryer's ways away from me, but the dryer vent's 4 feet away from me on the other room. And that thing was just bugging me. I couldn't go to sleep. And I thought they had some Kubota out there or just sitting out there. I couldn't figure it out, but I figured it out the next day. It was their dryer. And that thing annoyed me. But we see here, even with all the commotion that's going on here, Saul had yet to wake up. Now he awakes, and he begins to go on his way out of the cave, as Scripture says. Verse number 8, David also arose afterwards. I can just imagine David, he quietly cut off the skirt of Saul here. He talks to his men. They go back into the cave, and they're still watching Saul. They have not taken their eyes off of Saul because this is what takes place. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul. Now, we see the word cry here. I don't want you to sit there and say that David went out there, Saul. No, I believe David lifted up his voice. He spoke very loudly and got Saul's attention at this point in time. So he says, and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. Again, he recognizes the office, the position that Saul has at this point in time. He respects this office, and he calls him his Lord and his king. It says, and when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his earth and bowed himself. Just gather this, if you could, with David being tormented by a man and by his armies, had the opportunity to his enemy to kill him. David passes up on that opportunity because the Lord forbids him at this point in time. And now Saul leaves. He goes on his way. David calls him back. He calls him Lord. He calls him king. And what's he do next? He does something that I would probably never do in my lifetime. Dean, gather this with me if you could. He gets on his knees. And he bows himself before the king. Whew. Boy, think about that. Do you and I have that within ourselves to allow the Lord to humble us in such a way to be able to show a man such grace and such mercy, and then to bow yourself before him. This is all because God is working in the life of David. David is seeking to have a relationship with his father. And God is working in the life of David. This is what God can do in your life when you allow him complete control. When you say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to do the work that is necessary in my life, to do what you need to do so that you can be glorified. We're just one step away from this. I believe this is what David was doing in his life. He said, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you see fit. And David was serious. And God did something to David that God can do to you and I. The question is, do we want that? Do we want God's hand upon us the way he had upon David? So he cries after him, he stoops his face to the earth, and he bows himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou these men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. I'm going around that words got back to Saul where David wanted to hurt Saul. And David's saying, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but Saul, you're my Lord, you're my king. I don't want to bring any harm to you. This is false rumors. This is fake news. And I don't want, hey, I got to use fake news from the pulpit this morning. And David didn't want this in his life. He didn't want these false accusations coming against him. Now, again, Saul has no idea what took place, does he? He has no idea of the outcome that took place probably a few moments ago, maybe a few hours ago. Again, what do they wear? They wear robes. Saul's a king. What did David do? He cut off the skirt, the robe of the king. Saul doesn't even recognize that he's wearing half of his wardrobe. Doesn't even pay attention. He gets up and begins to walk out. He has no idea what took place. And so David, exactly what took place. Verse 10 says, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me to kill thee, but my eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. What did the last chapter say about David when it came to the life, his life being sought by Saul? I believe there's a verse in there. I can't remember what verse, but there's a verse in there. God did not deliver David. And of his, remember that? It says, deliver David into the hand of his enemy. Story. God delivered David's enemy into his hand. David could have killed him. This was Saul. I guarantee you this. Saul would have taken David's life. Saul would have had no second thoughts. He would have ended the life of David. He opens up to him with what just took place. And it says, the Lord delivered thee into my hand in the cave. I want you to understand that he recognizes that it wasn't his ability to be able to find Saul. He recognized and he gives glory that God delivered Saul into his hand. And that's what you and I need to do in our life. Recognize the almighty hand of God when he works in your life and give him glory, because glory is due to him. And so he says, the Lord deliver thee today to my hand. And some bade me, he's saying, hey, my men, my 600 men, they wanted me to kill you, Saul, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for the Lord's anointed. There is a tremendous picture here. Fast forward it now to 2017, if we may. We just read about something that's taken place thousands of years ago in a man's life. where there was a ruler over a country. This ruler was evil. This ruler was vicious. This ruler would kill his own people. This ruler wanted to kill his own son-in-law. This ruler threw a javelin at his own son. But what do we see here? He shows tremendous respect for the office. This has shown me something in my life because I needed to recognize something that God needed to tell me. No matter who God puts in office in our country, I've learned a lesson this week going through this. We need to respect the office. Amen? And how do we respect the office? We might not agree with that gentleman behind the office, behind that sits behind that desk, but it tells me one thing. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for him. Because they need God to intervene into their life. And we need to do what Scripture has told us to do. Pray for them that rule over us. And that taught me a great picture this week. And so I had an outlook on this. And on, David begins to recount all these things to David. And verse number 16, it says, "And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept." I see the word wept here, and I take this word literally right now. Because now he has just heard of the events that David had just described to him. And I see Saul in time could have possibly been humbled, very grateful, and he weeps. It's like, David, David, is that you? I see a beautiful picture take place here, but it doesn't last. It says, "He lifted up his voice and wept, and he said to David, Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thy hand, thou killest me not." Now, David, did he just not recognize who delivered Saul into his hand? He recognized it was the Lord. Now we go down a few verses later, and after Saul realizes and recognizes this is the voice of David talking to him, what does Saul recognize? It was the Lord that delivered him into his hand. I say this for a reason. The saved can see the Lord working, and the unsaved can see it too. They just don't recognize it all the time. Saul at this point in time, again, remember, come upon, he has recognized that the Lord delivered him into David's hand, but David did not take the opportunity to kill him. Verse number 19, it says, "For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord rewarded thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day." Final thought, David, Saul says, "Now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand." Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We pray that you continue to bless and ponder upon these words and these actions that David had presented and represented to Saul. Lord, if we find ourselves in this situation in our life, oh God, help us to be merciful unto our enemy. Help us to be gracious. And more importantly, Lord, help us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and how He wants to work and move in our life. Thank you. In your name, amen.